You're listening to an encore presentation of Faith and Family. Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is the season of Lent in the church year, and how do you talk about that at home? How do you teach your children about it? How do you observe it as a family? I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Find out more about them on our website. Go to kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section. There you can find the CUW logo, and click on that. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Joining me in studio today, Kelly Schumacher, liturgical artist with Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts. Kelly, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you in studio today and talking about Lent and children, liturgical art. What is liturgical art?
Liturgical art is art that is meant to supplement the liturgy. So it's based on the Bible, it's based on sacrament, it's inspired by scripture readings, music, sacred music, and it's meant to be beautiful and representational. That's emphasis that I add, something that represents the objective world and Christ coming into the flesh.
And you have I've seen some of the work you've brought in, some of your work to share with us here at KFUO, and it always does convey that. It conveys Christ coming into the world for us and done so beautifully. How do you do that with Lent? What are some of the things that you love about Lent when it comes to liturgical art?
Well, a lot of times, that was one reason I got into liturgical art was when I would go to museums or visit different churches, I noticed that the Passion was often represented in the form of a Stations of the Cross in a Catholic church or an altarpiece inside of a museum. And liturgical art was a way to pretty much illustrate the Passion narrative primarily. That was the most common subject matter. So it totally ties in with the Lenten season.
What did you learn about, or how did you learn about Lent as a child?
Well, we went to church every Sunday growing up, and we also, I don't remember going to midweek services when I was really young because we moved around, but I remember when we moved to St. Louis, we would go to midweek services, we would go to Lenten dinners, and I think I almost took it for granted, but as I've gotten older, I've become more invested in the songs and in the readings. And what was neat is about 2 years ago, my dad and I went on an almost like Lenten adventure where we were in New York for Ash Wednesday and went to a different service there. It wasn't Lutheran. We went to a Passion play. We went to Trinity and Soulard, and they actually had another Passion play. So we were taking our traditions, but kind of trying to make things more alive and more exciting and more artistic with viewing performances instead of just sitting through a service.
So taking it all in, really taking in a lot. Some have a tradition of giving up something during Lent. It sounds like you took up instead of giving up something.
Yeah. I mean, you can give up, but then you always get stuck in like, I want to give up desserts or something.
Right.
And it's kind of like, oh, that's not quite. But yeah, being, I think, proactive is a little bit more creative, I guess.
Taking up something for Lent to help you learn more, to help you observe, and to focus on that penitential season and what Christ has done for us. And so you mentioned you went to a Passion play and things like that. What did you gain from taking up those things?
Well, it made everything more alive and more real. And I actually started going to the Passion play because I'd always wanted to go. And it was funny, in art school, when I was doing an altarpiece, I would talk to all sorts of different people, and one of the models said, you know, you should go to one of these reenactments. People actually draw at these reenactments, and you can make art from that. So I went to one as a dress rehearsal, and I photographed the people performing this passion play, and free models. They let me do it. But I like seeing the different interpretations in the live action, and you know, how do other people visualize these stories?
Sure. And that's certainly appropriate for Lent in helping you depict the story or the text that that we study during Lent, during this penitential season. What are other things? So it sounds like that's one thing that certainly helped inspire you as an artist for that season of Lent. Are there other things? You mentioned passion play, attending services. Are there other things that that help inspire you as an artist, give you inspiration, ideas?
Oh my goodness. So many. I mean, we've talked about music and light. We've talked about film. What's interesting about going, when I was living in Philadelphia, I had to actually travel about an hour or so to get to church every Sunday, and it was kind of dangerous. So if I was traveling if I had to go to church in the evening, I wouldn't go. I would go to a different church, and they had the Philadelphia Cathedral. And I remember attending a Good Friday service one year, and they had this body of Christ on the cross, and people were going around and kissing it, and it was this huge space, and there's incense, and it was just, I mean, the place is huge, full of art, mosaics, beautiful marble floors. It was, I mean, it was, you were vested out, there was chanting, and it was just high church to the max. And another reason I do liturgical art is because I don't want to just have art in the church. I want high church that is just so, where you almost have an out-of-body experience in the presence of God, and you are in the throne room of grace. You almost are like, is there an angel flying past me or something? I mean, you're just so, so consumed. And that is a big inspiration for me, is what can I create that is going to simulate and give image to that unseen reality and make it visible?
What then, when we think of children and art, sometimes we think, okay, paper plates and glue and craft sticks. When you think of children and art, what comes to mind?
There is no shame in paper plates and craft sticks. No, but seriously, whatever. I mean, you know, two-dimensional, three-dimensional, in working with paper plates, the children might be able to make something more three-dimensional, such as an angel or something, by how they fold it. So you can work, you know, two-dimensionally or spatially. When I teach art for children now, I want to try to figure out, you know, what seems to be driving them. But I noticed a lot of times what I'm working on and meditating on and thinking about translates straight into the classroom. So, which I didn't realize that on a conscious level, but subconsciously I'm doing it. But with children, I really like to play with the idea of story. And I want them to, you know, either take a familiar story or something or a Bible passage, and then we try to figure out how to visualize and illustrate it. And so they are forced, which is a very difficult thing if you think about it. But at the same time, children, their minds are so, I guess, so plastic and malleable, and they can make all sorts of fun connections that we're like, no, it's like this. And they're like, well, why not this? And they see possibilities instead of pinning things down. And I really want to keep that very creative spirit where they're forced to, you know, come up with, not forced, but they need to generate a lot of different ideas and possibilities, and they visualize. And then the second part that I like to focus on is technical ability, is what can we do to make this look lifelike? How do we use shading, or how do we use hatching, colors? What are our materials? How do we make this look realistic? And, you know, and that's a very big thing to get to, but I start, you know, them thinking in that way through shapes, lines, and colors. That's really the building blocks to make something look representational in the future.
Now, my son is 2.5.
Yay!
He's identifying shapes. He's learned to identify shapes very well. And I'm quite pleased with that. Even things like oval and diamond. I was happy with squares and rectangles and triangles and circles. He had all those, but he's starting to identify all kinds of shapes and lots of colors now. Wow. As well. At what age, the younger children, what's appropriate in terms of art for them and teaching these, the Lenten text, the Lenten message, and older children, elementary school, first, second, third grade, those intermediate grades, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, what's appropriate at each level? What's the youngest child you work with in terms of art?
Oh my goodness. Well, I've only worked with a few children, mm-hmm. and then I've taught college. But what I've babysat and done a lot of childcare. So, I mean, I guess I would know a little bit. But I think, the younger they are, the more you are going to point, mm-hmm. and the more you are going to, and you focus on, objects, or you just talk to them visually, sure. You describe things. You can use stencils. I mean, I loved stencils, mm-hmm. as a kid. I would go crazy over these stencils because I couldn't draw like a bunch of grapes or mm-hmm. a turkey or a horse yet, but I could trace it and I could make a story just by tracing. You could sit there, your son, mm-hmm. you're at the grocery store. You'd be like, look at these grapes. These grapes are made of, mm-hmm. Look at the ovals. Do you see grapes in church? Where do you see grapes? And you can just start telling mm-hmm. him the stories behind an object, or you see a cup. Well, look at the cup at the communion mm-hmm. rail. Mommy and daddy can drink from it, but you can't drink from it yet. Why? Asking those questions, or bread, something as simple as a loaf of bread, mm-hmm. And looking at those objects. And then, you can show them, and this is more like the teaching verbal side versus the technical side. But then you go in and you say, you look at a painting and you have Jesus breaking bread, and you say, why is Jesus breaking this bread? Why is he breaking this cup? Have you seen something like mm-hmm. this before?
Sure.
This is on the altar. And you can start to weave these symbols, mm-hmm. and not just symbols that are 2D, but symbols that are objects in everyday life. And even with bread, I remember reading this years ago when I was trying to learn how to paint skin. Someone, an oil painter, said the way to learn how to paint realistic flesh is to paint bread. And that always stuck
wow.
with me. I don't, how deep is that? That the bread... And I'm like, oh my goodness, like bread is so, wow, that is so sacramental without even trying to be. So there's a lot of different things. And, when a child asks a question, be open to answering. But then if you're, mm-hmm. then you even ask, what do you think? Well, why would Jesus say this? Or, the miracle of the loaves and the fish, mm-hmm. be like, well, the loaves and the fish, like, why are fish important? When do fish show up? So I would say start with shapes, play with symbols. I did teach design. I did teach design for a while, and we talked a lot about symbols and mm-hmm. looking at symbols and the meaning within symbols. So what I would almost start with is like lines, shapes, and then moving those lines and shapes to create symbols. And then once you have your symbols, then you understand your meaning with your symbols. And then once you understand your symbols and your meaning, then you can graduate to narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I would progress it.
We've been using a Church Words picture book. Concordia Publishing House has a Church Words
oh, cool.
picture book. And we've been using that at church, at home and at church, helping him identify things that he sees in church, the things I see in church, pews and Bible and those types of things, and pastor and singing and all those things. And so he's been using that, and he knows what each picture is in the book now. So now we're starting to identify them when we see them at church.
Perfect.
And now we use, this is really funny, a miniature magnadoodle.
No, that's great.
So that we draw some of those things, some of the symbols last Sunday, we had Holy Communion. So on the Magna Doodle, I drew a chalice and the wafer, the bread, on the Magna Doodle before we went up to Holy Communion. And as he was going with us, he wasn't communing, but goes up for a blessing. But I was drawing this before we went up, and my wife and I were, you know, pointing out that that's what this is. That's what we're going up to, is the Lord's Supper. And so even a Magna Doodle, as fuzzy as it is, we were able to draw some symbols on it there in the service, and it also keeps him engaged.
Sounds like you're doing great to me.
So, well, Magna Doodle probably wouldn't qualify as liturgical art, but...
Oh, I was obsessed with wine. I totally was. There is, I mean, whatever gets the creative juices flowing, mm-hmm. I mean, when I was trying to figure out how to do multi-figure compositions, I would be cutting out printed things and, you know, and using tape. And I'm going, this is like a felt graph. This is so not sophisticated. But then I realized, like, you know, whatever it takes to make it work, mm-hmm. that's okay. I mean, even with children, like, I use models and props. I mean, it's really dress up mm-hmm. that I'm doing. And it's kind of funny because it's really not that different from what you do as a child.
Sure.
So, but I think as a child, you just do it because it just works. But mm-hmm. as you get older, the meaning and the depth is always what's going to be, you're going to revisit and understand it even more each time.
Sure, sure. I saw an interesting photo the other day of children playing dress up, and they were playing church.
Oh.
They were dressed up one was dressed up as the pastor. He was playing pastor at church. It was quite interesting. It was funny. He even had the liturgical colors on, the appropriate liturgical colors. So really at any age, mm-hmm. As children are learning to communicate, learning to identify, and learning to express, we can really use these a variety of things to teach them about Lent, about the church year as a whole as well, using, I'm glad you pointed out, shapes and then symbols and lines and things like that. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned you loved stencils as a child. I think what we need is a set of liturgical symbols, stencils. Can you develop those? Would you create those?
I have no idea how.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would. And you could have like little Bible characters, and then they can make their own like little stories. And yeah,
but all the symbols of the church year too.
All
the symbols of the church year in stencils.
Some of them are complicated.
True. True.
Yeah.
But you could do some, wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun. I do have a little liturgical symbols handbook.
Make them into stencils. Yeah. I'll be your first customer.
Okay. Just have to figure out the cutting and plat. Maybe I need a 3D printer then in order to make them work.
Is it amazing how technology has changed over time? And how does technology support your work? How does it help you do your work? How has it changed over time and support you doing your work as a liturgical artist?
That's a great question. I used to be very anti-technology and very like, it all messes everything up. But some things that I do are, I do a lot of photography. Mm-hmm. And I take the photos into my computer, and I've started to change the lighting on things mm-hmm. and really play with the colors. If I want things more blue, if I want things more gray. And you're not just limited to a printout and imagining. Mm-hmm. I can actually control the colors. I've started with my very weak computer skills, taking different images and instead of cutting them out by hand, cutting them out on the computer and then developing different scenes and different compositions instead of just mm-hmm. making it up and sketching it. I can actually make a full project mm-hmm. And work from that. My camera, obviously, my computer.
Sure.
But I also try to work, I do work from life depending on what I need, but I've noticed that it's just not very practical to have people sit out forever because my work takes so long to make and it's not very cost effective. And I find that with the tools that I have, I can get a lot of detail and keep the cost relatively, mm-hmm. relatively low. And even my, I've started doing this more, my camera phone.
Sure.
You know, when I'm out and I see something that's interesting, I don't have to carry my big camera everywhere anymore. And it's really nice to be able, I mean, those little things that artists didn't have access to the past. And I mean, I can even, you know, even technology mm-hmm. to be able to travel. Well, you have more access to more scenes, more props, more everything. Mm-hmm. And even though a lot of times in the past, the work was very good, you just didn't have as much access as we have now. And even on the computer, I can look up almost anything.
Mm-hmm. We have access to all kinds of ideas and images virtually unlimited. Mm-hmm. With, as you pointed out, with having a mobile phone that has a pretty decent camera on it today compared to what they were just, you know, 10 years ago. The fact that you can capture an image on your phone anywhere you are, I mean, usually you would have a mobile phone with you and capture an image. Or, as you pointed out, with access to the internet, I mean, you can find research and find anything on the internet today, right?
Yes, anything.
Yeah, so technology certainly has impacted how we go about art, I'm sure, how we go about just about anything in life, but certainly how we go about art. What about art with children? What are some of the basic things that you teach them? And do you use technology at all when teaching children about art?
I do. I do use some technology. We look at, if we have a project, mm-hmm. what I encourage them to do is to, I love Pinterest, actually. I find really interesting mm-hmm. art pieces on there. And you don't normally have to be afraid of kids popping up something that they shouldn't pop up as much. I mean, you always have to be a little bit guarded on that.
Always want to use safety on
the internet. Yeah, but like Pinterest, if you look up...
It's a little bit tamer than other places.
Yeah, it is. And I've just noticed I can find a lot more interesting things that I would not be able to find on Google or mm-hmm. Yahoo necessarily. And then how I go about teaching children... It so much depends on the child, but one student I started with drawing, and then we got into just painting still lifes every week, one or two still lifes every week and some landscapes. And she really seemed into that. A different student, I asked if she wanted to do painting or drawing. She seemed more to gravitate toward drawing. And then we went through, I had this book on portraiture, and we just went through the different parts of the face. We went to the eye, we went mm-hmm. to the nose, went to the lips. We were working on the planes of the face and just breaking down the simpler shapes. A different student, the first project we did was a nativity scene. We had to draw a nativity mm-hmm. scene and take a bunch of, I took a bunch of photographs, and we had to come up with a nativity scene, putting all those photos together, and she had to draw that. Then we did an illuminated manuscript page, and she had to pick out a verse from the Bible and research some images to mm-hmm. come together and make an image. I'm not repeating projects. I'm more just kind of like whatever seems to make sense to me at the time. And then we did a bunch of bananas with a 7-step layered glazing process where she learned how to grid from a photograph. And she did great. I was impressed. She had to learn how to do that and then do different layers of glazes and understand optical blending through layering versus directly mixing. And I know these things sound very complicated, but they're really not. But we take it slow.
But children can learn these things. They're sponges. They can absorb and learn these things very well. I remember, as an elementary student, we were very fortunate that we had a college professor who taught our elementary art courses. So I got to learn some really neat things as a child too, and when it comes to art. Well, Kelly, we are just about out of time, but I want to make sure that folks can find out more about you and your work and Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts. The website, is that a good place to go find
more? Sure. Agnus Dei Arts, agnusdeiarts.com. I'm also on Facebook. You just look up Agnus Dei Arts or Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts.
Well, thanks so much for sharing with us about liturgical art and children and Lent. God's blessings on this penitential season, this Lenten season, and look forward to having you back in the future.
Thank you.